Okay, let me see if I remember how to do this. Microphone, check. Notes, check. And music. What is this, countdown? Oh, wrong music. Okay, let's try again. Microphone, check. Notes, check. And music. Okay, I'm not Tom Likas. One more time. Music! Oh, good God. Alright, sooner or later I'll figure out how to do this. Maybe this is how you start the show. Hey everybody, it's 6 past the hour, and this is Indirect Democracy. On this episode of Indirect Democracy, we have egg timer news. Plus, we're going to have a global warming update, we have a guest speaker, we're going to have an old sponsor, and of course, the What a Weenie Award. And welcome. Welcome to what I believe is podcast number 34 of Indirect Democracy. Not that I'm apparently keeping count anymore, but thank you. Thank you for being here, and welcome. This is Indirect Democracy. I am your host. My name is David. Been 6 months. It has been a very long 6 months. I won't go into a lot of details, except I am staring right now at a very smelly puppy that likes to go past. We added a new dog about, it's been almost 5 months ago. And she's just been a handful. I can't even begin to tell you. So two dogs, good life, trying to keep busy, trying to do well at work. But I'll get into that much later on in the show. This is going to be a very clip-heavy show. So there's going to be a lot going into it. There's been a lot that's gone on since October. Gee, I can't imagine what. Huh. What could have changed in the past 6 months? I don't know. But we'll get into that in just a bit. Let's see. Indirect Democracy, and I do not want to forget this. Indirect Democracy is still a very proud member of the Progressive Podcast Network. I encourage you to check out all the podcasts from that great network at progressivepodcastnetwork.org, or you can go to their forum site at newmediarevolutionaries.com. Proud of all the new members that have joined the Progressive Podcast Network over the past few months. Good luck to them all. Good luck to me as I try to get back into the swing of things. Let's get started. And I'm going to get started with the global warming update. If you're new to the podcast, the global warming update is essentially a news story that deals with issues dealing with global warming and how they affect all of our lives, and just trying to keep you up to date with different issues that deal with climate change. Now, to sort of put everything together and sort of compact a lot of stuff, because this will be a very heavy show, I'm going to combine the global warming update with the What a Weenie Award, because it's just so necessary. Because at a time when I could be talking about the fact that it was, you know, just Earth Day last week on the 22nd, the dogs are going to start barking in just a second, when I could be talking about the fact that the amount of ice on the Arctic Sea is going to decrease by 2013, because when I first started doing this podcast about a couple years ago, it was 2050. Then it went to 2030. Now they're looking at the loss of Arctic ice by the year 2013. That is frightening. 2013. But I'm not going to be talking about that in great detail. Why? Because I have to get into the What a Weenie Award. And here's this What a Weenie Award for this particular episode. This What a Weenie Award goes to John Boehner. In a time when serious science needs to come back into play, when people need to start talking about what is really going on with global climate change, here is what this weenie had to say recently.
What is the Republican plan to deal with carbon emissions, which every major scientific organization has said is contributing to climate change?
George, the idea that carbon dioxide is a carcinogen that is harmful to our environment is almost comical. Every time we exhale, we exhale carbon dioxide. Every cow in the world, you know, when they do what they do, you've got more carbon dioxide. And so I think it's clear we've had climate change over the last 100 years.
Climate change?
Listen, it's clear we've had change in our climate. The question is, how much does man have to do with it? And what is the proper way to deal with this?
My God, did this man just compare what's going on to our planet by the amount of carbon dioxide you and I exhale and cow farts? Did I miss something? Cow farts? I mean, obviously, this must be the higher that comes out of this man. It's not carbon dioxide. It's cow farts. Nobody should have, and the only reason I can tell you that, because he must have shit for brains. Nobody comes across and says that the reason that this world is in danger, or is in a fictitious danger according to people with his mindset, is because we all exhale. Hey, buddy, let me clue you on to something really quick. Carbon dioxide is only one small portion of the carbon emissions that we are all worried about. It is the amount of carbon emissions that is built up that is causing global climate change, that's causing the planet to warm up, that is causing us to lose the Arctic ice during summer by the year 2013. That's 4 years from now. That is frightening numbers. That is frightening facts. That is a frightening reality, but does not exist in a man who obviously exhales cow flatulence, because that's the only thing that makes sense. You have to have shit for brains to come up with that line of thought, because either one, you truly believe in those facts, and if that's true, he should never have reproduced, or two, Congressman Boehner truly doesn't care. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He just wants to stick you into the little bubble that they want to stay in as far as conservatives. Simple-minded people with simple facts who have no solutions to grand problems. And that is why this man wins the Water Weenie Award for this episode, because at a time when serious science is coming back, he comes forward with the thought proposition that carbon dioxide, the stuff that you and I breathe out, is the real danger to what faces the planet, and therefore really isn't serious because we all breathe, and next thing you know, they're going to want to regulate our breathing, which I think is something Tony Blankley just said on Left, Right, and Center, which was also asinine at the same time. Last thought in giving out this What a Weenie Award. Congressman Boehner, if you want to know the danger of just pure carbon dioxide, I tell you what, do us all a favor. Go into a room, a very small room, airtight, hang out in it for a little while. And if the amount of carbon dioxide that builds up in there starts to scare you, well, don't worry about it, because it means nothing. And if it starts to get really hot in there, don't worry about it. It just means nothing. It's just carbon dioxide. It's what you're breathing out. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not carbon dioxide. It's cow flatulence. What a weenie. The sound you're hearing in the background as I'm trying to get them to just take a break from it are my two dogs, Juno, my American Eskimo, or our American Eskimo, my wife and I, and Sally, our brand new beagle, who is just all short of about 6 months old at the end of the month. And she is adorable, and I love her to death, but she's also disgusting. I don't know how many of you have a beagle, but she eats the poop. It's disgusting. Hey, you know what? Speaking of poop, since we're on that subject and we're talking about cow flatulence and poop, because of the simple-minded nature of Republicans, one of my favorite things that has come back recently is that now I get to enjoy a little bit of Marc Maron on Break Room Live on Air America. And in doing so, I get to enjoy just a little bit. Every now and then, they bring back a little bit of Lawton Smalls, who I adore. So in keeping with that, here is Lawton Smalls from Break Room Live.
George W. Bush is no longer president, but his way of thinking is still out there and wants to be heard. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is our very own former Planet Bush Bureau Chief, Lawton Smalls. Hello, Lawton.
Hello, Mark. The only stimulus America needs is Jesus. Mm. And maybe some Lee Greenwood. Write it down.
Hey, Lawton, buddy, what's going on with the Republican Party, man? It's in complete chaos. Disaster.
Chaos? Disaster? I think the word you're looking for, Spicoli, is flourishing. Mm. Our current surge in popularity is the legacy of President George W. Two terms mandate Bush beginning to flower. Folks from all ethnicities and creeds are flocking to him, wanting to get a taste of the magic. It's like people going to Lord's, Mark.
Yeah.
They get a sip of W, and they are healed. ideologically, though I heard it can be good for crabs.
Uh-huh. So, hey, buddy, who are these people you're talking about exactly?
The next generation, Republicans 2.0.
Uh-huh.
Fresh, young, suckled from the milky conservative teats of Ronald Reagan himself. And look how big and strong they've grown up. The Republican Party, the party of diversity, a gorgeous mosaic of the right. Look out, Hussein Obama. On guard, socialist baby killers. We're back, and we've got a rainbow of our own.
Yeah, okay, Lawton. So who have you got in your Republican rainbow there, diversity man?
Thanks for asking.
Uh-huh.
First up, Michael Steele.
Yeah.
In addition to his dapper little Clark Gable mustache, the man is a visionary for reaching out to the so-called hip-hop community. Just heard about that last week.
Yeah.
Now, President Bush, his almost universal appeal among African Americans gives him a leg up there. Again,
yeah.
Legacy.
Sure.
And Steele knows the streets. Not like that elitist, snotty Obama. He keeps it real. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-o, yippee-yay, Mark.
Oh, yeah, I hear you, Lawton, but let's be honest, buddy. Michael Steele, I'm blacker than he is. Who else you got there, Lawton?
Bobby Jindal.
Oh,
bam.
Yeah.
His people are from India,
mm-hmm.
but he rejected their cartoonish tin pot gods for Jesus. Amen.
Mm.
He doesn't believe in reincarnation anymore like his ancestors, but if he did, he'd want to come back as Strom Thurmond. Good old Bobby. Needs to eat more, though. Little bit scrawny.
Come on, Lawton. Jindal's an embarrassment. You know Jindal's an embarrassment. That speech of his was something a third grader would have given. He's your future, really, Lawton? Seriously?
Okay. Eric Cantor. Uh-huh. Bam!
Uh-huh.
He's from your tribe, Mark. Son of Abraham. Baruch Adonai Elohim Israel. The Hebrew hammer. He's raining down on Nancy Pelosi Old Testament style. Deuteronomy. Leviticus. Proverbs!
Yeah,
Old Testament!
Yeah, okay, Eric Cantor, shalom. So no women in your big tent?
Michelle Bachmann, bam!
Oh,
God. She's all woman, mister.
Awful.
Solid conservative chops, and probably knows her way around a casserole. You know, we're not just a bunch of rich white guys, Mark. Sorry to pop your balloon. I know how you cherish your little stereotypes, your mean
Hey, Lawton, a rich white guy is running your party. Rush Limbaugh.
Well, Mark, of course, a rich white guy is running the party. I mean, that's in the Bible. I mean, there's no arguing with that. That's getting up in God's grill.
Hey, buddy, listen to me, Lawton. Here's what I think. Republicans are so scared of Obama and his popularity that you're throwing up these tokens to try to make people think you're not just a bunch of rich white guys clinging to your money and your failed ideas. Your era is over, Lawton. Over. It's over. And unless you embrace some real diversity, the Republican Party is going to be a footnote. It's already a joke, you loser. Oh, here we go.
I was at a Republican rally a few weeks ago, and it was all white guys.
Yeah.
It was like the National Hockey League in there without the Canadians.
Mm.
It's like that clone Frosty the freaking snowman 200 times. I guess somebody thought maybe they ought to show a little diversity, so they gave me a stack of $5 bills. They told me go out of there on the street and give a $5 bill to any brown person willing to be photographed with a Republican.
Oh, my God.
You know who took it? Nobody.
Mm.
Not one. It's like I had leprosy and running stores and at least stool.
All right.
Nobody likes us anymore. And we tried to be cool.
No, they don't, Lawton.
Nobody likes us.
They don't. They
nobody
don't.
I guess blubbering like a little girl's not all that cool either, is it?
Well, it's not awful, but no, it's not cool.
It's not that cool.
No. You all right? Oh, God.
You see, we're going to take all those minorities and turn them into majorities. Bam! Real Americans, patriots, NASCAR fans, meat eaters.
All right, Lawton. Goodbye, Lawton.
God loves you. Deal with it.
Goodbye, Lawton. Man, I like when he cries, though.
It sounded like he has like a serious emphysema problem.
Okay, one of the features that I used to have on this podcast was the president's horoscope. Was the president's career horoscope, then became the president's love horoscope. I had a lot of fun doing it, but I have to admit that one of the things that I just couldn't get past was the idea of doing it again after President Obama was then president-elect, after he won the election back in November. The idea of doing another horoscope for that president, I have to admit, became a little bit distasteful for me, so I'm kind of glad that he's gone, because now I'm done doing it for that particular reason, because it was just so distasteful. You try to have fun with something, but in the middle of doing them, you realized the horror of the presidency itself that was George W. Bush. And I know a lot of people are going, that's not balanced. You're not coming from a middle road. Well, guess what? He was an awful president. I think we can all be honest about that. And the president's love horoscope is going to cease, because part of the joke of it was to call him a Cancer, which is what he was astrologically, but it really just fit in every way you could. It was a homonym. It worked on both levels, trust me. So, because there's no more presidential love horoscope anymore, what I'm going to do every now and then is I'm going to introduce a guest speaker. So, I have one now. Now, I don't know how many of you heard that John Madden retired from broadcasting professional football. He did recently. But fortunately, we were there to record a press conference he gave just a few days after that fact. And here is that press conference. Hey, everybody. John Madden here. Now, recently, I announced my retirement from broadcasting professional football, and as you know, I love the game. I think it's a beautiful game, and my life and my love has been the passion of that game, but you know, I realized that besides my love of football, I love Madden 2009. It's a great game, and, you know, I love my family, and you know, I also love Ace Hardware Stores. It's about the best place to shop anywhere. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, man. You know, boom! So, you know, if they sold Madden 2009 at, you know, Ace Hardware, it'd be the best place to shop in the world. You gotta admit, it would be amazing. But I realized recently, and I'm going a little bit off topic there, that besides my love of football and Ace Hardware and my family and Madden 2009, you gotta go out and buy it. I love politics. I know I don't talk about politics very often because, you know, I'm a football guy, and everybody wants to hear about football. But the country right now is like the Detroit Lions they were last year. We're 0-16. It's just, you know, we've had bad coaching, but now we've got a new leader on the field, a new coach, new people out there. And I realized that I want to talk more about Barack Obama, because Barack Obama is, you know what he's like? He's like Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre is just about the best thing that's ever happened. You know, he's amazing. You could take Brett Favre and get rid of the ball and get rid of the grass, and Brett Favre would have just about the best game that anybody's ever seen. They would talk about it for generations, and that's why, Barack Obama is like Brett Favre. And, you know, I realized that I got to start talking more about what's going on with Barack Obama and the country, because Barack Obama's out there with the ball, and he's trying to get, you know, things passed through into the House, and, you know, trying to get the stimulus package going, and he's mean, you know, with resistance, you know, it's like John Boehner's out there, but Barack Obama's got the ball, and he's running through, and he's trying to get through, and, you know, it's like football. You know, the guy who's got the ball is the guy you want to watch on the field. That's where your excitement is, and you know that's like Barack Obama right now. He's out there running. You know, but the team I want to watch is, of course, the guy who's got the ball and the team with the most points on the board. That's gonna be the team you're gonna be talking about tomorrow when they win the game. But right now, you know, America's got themselves a great new quarterback and a great leader and great coach, and that's in Barack Obama, who really is. He's like Brett Favre, you know, he's just dreamy. And, you know, only somebody like that could get, you know, Michelle Obama and have those great kids. And maybe, I know they got the dog, but, you know, buy the Madden 2009. Hopefully you can get it at an Ace Hardware store. Boom! And that's why I left football. Let me do in politics. And thank you so much, and go Barack Obama. Well, we look forward to hearing from John in the future, and I hope he'll contribute more and more to this podcast, and maybe we'll get some other different guest speakers. But right now, here's an ad from the Progressive Podcast Network.
The Anti-Bush Press makes terrorists.
Their interests are not your interests. Their truth is not your truth. The corporations have their media. Now we have ours. The Progressive Podcast Network. Now we are the media. Listen to your media. Take your country back. Go to ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org. The Progressive Podcast Network. ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org.
Okay, I'm trying to speed up the podcast and also keep a flow and a rhythm to everything that's going on. I decided that maybe it was worth trying to do something that was more like the news nowadays, to be talking about something substantive, and then all of a sudden have to realize that I have to start talking about something frivolous, because that's how the news works on a big broadcast level. I wanted to try that out for this particular podcast. Now, there's going to be a lot of important things I'm going to discuss, but not without having to do the news by a timer. I don't have an actual egg timer. We're going to use the metaphorical egg timer. In this particular instance, my little iPod device, which has a timer on it. So after about 4 or 5 minutes, it's going to go off, and in the middle of the subject, I don't care how important the discussion point is going to be, I'm going to talk to you about the news that you're really interested in, because that's really what you want to focus on, so I'm going to do that. We're going to begin this new experiment in podcasting right now. Here it is, Egg Timer News. Last week, the White House released a set of memos dealing with the use of harsh interrogation methods, the torture memos, as they should be called, and I will get back to calling them, that dealt with harsh interrogation methods and the torture methods that were used against high-level al-Qaeda suspects. There were three that were mentioned within the memos. The two that were prominent were Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, and Abu Zubaydah. Now, the important thing that came out of this and what we found out was that it was, even though we've all known this for the past few years, that not only was waterboarding put into effect, but we found out all the specifics that went into waterboarding, all the little legal details that went into it. But most importantly, we found out two things about it. The amount of times that they used waterboarding in 1 month for these high-level suspects, and two, the level of detail that goes in to waterboarding somebody. I mean, it is just, as you read it, and I don't know if you've read these memos, but I will post them. I will post a link for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and the sites they have to link to these PDFs of the four torture memos. I highly recommend you take the time, read any one of them. Start with the August 2002 memo, which is just, as you read it, you can't get over the amount of times that they go back and forth about whether or not waterboarding is torture or not. But the fact that they have to have four memos about this tells you enough. But we're going to get back to that in just a second. The one thing that just amazed me about these memos, I'm going to go into this right now, was the not just the amount of times these guys were tortured, but the laundry list of things that they used to interrogate somebody. And this particular piece of information comes from the May 10th, 2005 memo written by John Rizzo, who was senior deputy general counsel for the CIA at the time. The list of things, here's what they used. They used dietary manipulation. They used nudity. They used the attention grasp. They used walling. They used the facial hold, facial slaps or insult slaps. They used the abdominal slap. They used cramped confinement, wall standing, stress positions, water dousing, and sleep deprivation, which is, of course, deprivation for more than 48 hours. And, of course, the waterboard. That's 13 things right there in one memo to talk about the level of harsh methods to get information out of people. And it was all done because after a certain point, they believed that people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed became unreceptive or unwilling to talk about or gave up information dealing with future attacks. And that was the whole thing, the reasons why they did them, was these claimed that either an imminent attack was about to occur and they needed the information. And what I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going to read you this portion on the waterboard from this May 10th, 2005 memo. Now, the waterborne in this technique, the detainee is lying on a gurney that is inclined at an angle of 10 to 15 degrees to the horizontal, with the detainee on his back and head toward the lower end of the gurney. A cloth is placed over the detainee's face and cold water is poured on the cloth from a height of approximately 6 to 18 inches. The wet cloth creates a barrier through which it is difficult or in some cases not possible to breathe. A single application of water may not last for more than 40 seconds, with the duration of fan application measured from the moment when water or whatever quantity is first poured onto the cloth until the moment the cloth is removed from the subject's face. When the time limit is reached, the pouring of water is immediately discontinued and the cloth is removed. We understand that if the detainee makes an effort to defeat the technique by twisting his head or breathing out of the corner of his mouth, the interrogator may cup his hands around the detainee's nose and mouth to, and I can't read this word, sort of blocked off, but I guess blocked the runoff, in which case it would not be possible for the detainee to breathe during the application of the water. In addition, you have informed that the technique may be applied in a manner to defeat the efforts by the detainee to hold his breath, by example, beginning an application of water as the detainee is exhaling. We understand that the effect of the waterboard is to induce a sensation of drowning. This sensation is based on a deeply rooted physiological response. Thus, the detainee experiences this sensation even if he is aware that he is not actually drowning. We are informed that based on extensive experience, that's my pups, the process is not physically painful, that's amazing to me, but that it usually does cause fear and panic, which, I don't know, could cause pain. The waterboard has been used many thousands of times in SEER training. SEER stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape Training, provided to American military personnel, though in the context is usually limited to one or two applications of no more than 40 seconds each. Now, the important thing about that is... Okay, never mind. The important thing is that I need to get into other news. In other news, hey, did everybody find out they're doing a musical about the Octomom? That's just amazing. Yeah, I love this story. This story is just the horror show of the past, of this year. It is the horror show of this past year, because here you have somebody who's obviously a nut job, and who doesn't want to talk about the Octomom? She's weird. She has babies coming out of her uterus all the time. She actually wants to trademark the name Octomom. And you have to love it, because for me, the Octomom always makes me think of this particular Andrew Dice Clay thing.
Was an old lady lived in a shoe. She has so many kids, her uterus fell out.
Yeah, I know. There's a bunch of you progressives out there right now going, oh my God, he used Andrew Dice Clay. Well, you know, it's funny, okay? Try to get past it just a little bit. It's all right. We're talking about the Octomom. I think she should be allowed to trademark that name. Why not? I mean, who else would want to use it? Who else would want to say they're the Octomom? And why shouldn't she make money off of somebody using her likeness to go around and sing on stage? In fact, I think there should be more musicals about women that just put one out as many times as they can. I'm a big fan of it. I say let's do it. But back to real news. Now, we were talking about the amount of times a person has been waterboarded in the SEER training, saying that they've been done no more than one to two times. Let's continue with the memo. You have explained that the waterboard technique is used only if the CIA has credible intelligence that a terrorist attack is imminent, and two, that there are substantial and credible indicators that the subject has actionable intelligence that can prevent, disrupt, or delay this attack, and three, other interrogation methods have failed or are unlikely to yield actionable intelligence in time to prevent the attack. To that, they actually provide an attachment, the August 2nd Rizzo letter. You've informed us that the waterboard may be approved for use with the given detainee only during at most one single 30-day period, and that during the period, the waterboard technique may be used no more than 5 days. We further understand that in any 24-hour period, interrogators may use no more than two sessions of the waterboard on a subject, with a session defined to mean the time the detainee is strapped into the waterboard, and that no session may last for more than 2 hours. However, during any session, the number of individual applications of water lasting 10 seconds or longer may not exceed 6. As noted above, the maximum length of any application of water is 40 seconds. This is important to understand, because in one of these instances, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded in a month 183 times in that month. That's an average of about 6 times a day. So they met all their standards. They got him in about 6 times in a particular day, 20 to 40 seconds. And the thing that cracks me about this is the constant belief that this is not torture. Well, hey, guess what? Just because a Navy SEAL guy did it once or twice, he did it knowing that it was just a test on him. he knew he wasn't going to die. If I was subjected to something, almost anything, 183 times, it's going to drive me bats. It's going to drive me bananas. This guy had waterboarding done to him 183 times, and you can look me in the face and tell me that's not torture. You know, I want that guy to suffer as much as the next person. This guy was the mastermind behind the death of 3,000 people. Yeah, I want him to suffer. But I'll tell you what I want more. I want to see this guy also rot in jail. I want to see him actually face criminal justice because what he did was murder. I want to make sure that he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail and that the people that he helps are also going to spend the rest of their life in a rat hole or executed according to the law. And guess what you can't do? Because you've gone and used torture, which is what this is. They're torture methods. You can't use that information in a court of law. It is unallowable. It is unacceptable. Under the fruit of the poison tree exception, any information gained from a prisoner, and that's what this man was, a prisoner, which is illegal, any illegal method used, the information that you have gleaned from that particular use, in this case torture, is unallowable in a court of law. And I know the automatic argument is, well, these are military commissions. This is not a court of law. Well, guess what? This should be. For us to stand back and say, just do it. He's an animal. What does that make us? What does that do for us to say that we can't even use the information that he gave that may be true? Maybe it's not. We don't know the full aspects yet. But it doesn't matter. The information he gave, we can't even present it properly in a court of law and to the court of public opinion and to the world to say that we found this out the right way. That we, America, the United States, fell back and became exactly what they wanted us to become. They wanted us to become the animal that they always saw us as. And we fell right into it. We launched a war for oil. They said we'd do it, and we did it. We became exactly like the terrorists. They claimed that we would lose all of our moral standing. We did exactly what they wanted us to do, which is what has always bothered me about how Bush handled this war against terrorism. Besides the fact that it's, not a real thing. It's an idea. You can't defeat an idea. You can't defeat a method. But you could defeat these people, and you could take them down properly. And by using torture, we have prevented true justice from occurring. We still haven't won over in Afghanistan. We're not winning in Iraq. And the thing that bothers me the most about this is... Okay, well, the timer went off. It's time to do another Egg Time news story. That's right. Hold on, let's stop the timer. Hey, and other news. Speaking of weird moms... I heard recently that Madonna's going to launch an appeal to try to get herself that Malawian baby. And isn't me, I say good luck for her. I say go get a Madge. I say try to get that child. Why shouldn't you? Shouldn't this be what people are doing nowadays, is just grabbing kids like they would, anything else? It's the new Chihuahua. Go get yourself a baby from some other country. I know, a lot of you are going, oh. But I think the thing that I like the most about Madonna going to adopt, and I'm using little quotation marks, is that she seems to have to fight or buy to get them. And whenever I think of Madonna going to some other country to buy a child, essentially, I keep thinking of this song from Pete's Dragon.
We got a bill of sale right here
that says he belongs to us.
We bought him fair and square last year, and we own the little cuss.
Look here, read the writing that gives us a legal claim.
Oh, we got a bill of sale right here with dear old Petey's name. I don't believe it.
You go, Mags. You show him that bill of sale. That kid's yours. Okay, back to the timer. Going back to what we were talking about, 183 times, what makes this important is that within the August 1st memo, there is a discussion about the specific intent or what it takes to call something torture. And let me read to you from the memo those particular codes as they're listed from the August 1st memo. I'm finding it. I'm hurrying up because the timer is going by. Okay, this is Title 18, United States Code, Section 2340. For it to be shown that there's torture, a violation of 2340A requires that One, the torture occurred outside the United States. Bingo, we have that happening over in Gitmo. It's outside the United States. Two, the defendant acted under the color of law. We've got military officials acting in their capacity to protect the United States. Three, the victim was within defendant's custody or control. We got that there, Gitmo. Four, the defendant specifically intended to inflict severe pain or suffering. And five, that the act inflicted severe pain or suffering. It's issues four and five that get me the most about this, because recently when President Obama said that he was not going to charge them, any of the people that use these torture methods against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or Abu Zubaydah, by him saying that, he said that they followed something that they thought was lawful and legal. Well, first off, these memos were a joke because they were written specifically to conform to the needs that they had to put forward. They were drafted specifically so they would show that it was not illegal. But specific intent is fascinating, because when you think about those 183 times, let me read to you the section within the August 1st memo dealing with specific intent. To violate the statute, an individual must have the specific intent to inflict severe pain or suffering. To have required the specific intent, an individual must expressly intend to cause such severe pain or suffering. Now, as we've discussed this happened 183 times in the instance dealing with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. 183 times. There is a level, and this is the thing that I don't think anybody really wants to say, there is a level of sadism that occurs here when somebody does something like that to somebody 183 times. You cannot look at me and say that them doing that to somebody wasn't done with the intent to cause them severe pain or suffering. In one of the memos, the discussion is actually brought up that should somebody go through one of these waterboarding techniques and their larynx starts to freeze up on them and they can't breathe anymore, that they have a doctor ready and able nearby to give them a tracheotomy. Well, isn't that just wonderful? Is it me, or when you actually shove a knife into somebody's neck so they can breathe, that's going to cause them permanent harm? Because they shouldn't have been put in that place to begin with. 183 times is sadism. Clear and simple. If you can't get the information that you need from somebody after the first time, what makes you think the information is going to be any different on time 180, 81, or 182, or 183? It isn't. This is purely about punishing him. And like I said, this guy's a piece of trash. I don't care what happens to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but I do care about the information that's put together and the way this country stands. In no way, shape, or form should we have been equated at any one time with waterboarding. I mean, it's waterboarding, for God's sakes. This is a method that they've used since the Inquisition.
The Inquisition,
what a show.
The Inquisition,
here we go.
We know you're wishing that we'd go away, but the Inquisition's here and it's here to stay.
Oh, what?
It's waterboarding. It's something that actually caused us to find the Japanese soldiers that used this against our American soldiers in World War II and try them for war crimes and execute them. It's waterboarding. It is torture, pure and simple. And to say that it will not cause somebody permanent harm is ridiculous. In one of the memos, the August 1st, 2002 memo, it is actually discussed that because of the mental mindset of Abu Zubaydah, that he is too purpose-driven to actually suffer any mental harm, but yet they continue to talk about how waterboarding can cause prolonged mental harm. There is a backwards thought process that goes with this, and goes with the people who actually start to defend this particular process. It is not something that can continue. It is not something that should be done in our name. And that's what bothers me most about this. There is no way that you can look at this and say that specific intent did not exist. It did. And there goes the egg timer. Time to go into our next piece of news. Egg timer news, entertainment special. Hey, did anybody hear the thing that Miss California said? Yeah, we've all heard it. I'm not going to play that clip. But how do you say that? How do you go in front of Perez Hilton, who's openly homosexual, who most likely believes in gay marriage, and then stand there and say, the thing she said, saying that all of a sudden there's a right or there's to opposite marriage, but she doesn't believe it because it's not biblically correct. You know what? You're in a contest to win. I know ethics are one thing and you're going to stand proud for what you believe in or you want to be true to who you are, but you're in it to win a competition, a beauty competition. Play to the judges. You can find a better way to have said it. I know that for a lot of people, they thought that maybe some of the questions that were done at this particular Miss America pageant were a little bit more political than usual, but hey, these are different times. These are serious times. And serious people should be answering serious questions or at least have the wherewithal to know that if one of the judges is gay, if you go out and say something that's going to displease him, guess what? You're going to lose. So, Miss California, the reason you didn't win wasn't because you stood up for your principles about whether or not you believe that marriage between gays is, you know, should be right or not. That's not the reason you lost. You lost because you didn't play up to the judge. So get over it. And back to the real news. That little sound you hear in the background that sounds like a scene out of Ben-Hur with, you know, horses going by. It's actually my dogs going to full speed chasing each other. They love chasing each other. So I hope it wasn't too distracting in the background. But getting back to this discussion about the torture memos, what is fascinating about this is watching beyond the level of discussions within these memos as to what is torture, what is not, whether it's allowable, whether it's legal, has become this discussion amongst the Republican Party, the apologists, as you will, who continue to talk about whether or not it was right to do so. Look, like I said, I get it. This guy did something monstrous. We all get it. He's a murderer. We all understand that a lot of the suspects that are there, possibly, but since we don't know because they haven't been given their right for a full day in court, could be behind the murder of 3,000 people. Whether or not you want to believe that, or maybe you believe that the government was behind 9/11, doesn't matter. The amount of apology that has come out from the conservative base for something that is clearly against what we have stood for decades. Washington wouldn't torture prisoners of war that he caught. And I know it automatically conservatives are going to say, well, these aren't prisoners of war. Hey, guess what? They're prisoners. They're in our custody. We are supposed to treat them the way that we have always stood up to treating people in our custody. The same reason why back in 91, Iraqi soldiers would just throw up their hands because they knew that American soldiers would treat them right. It's because we're the United States and we should stand for something better, even in times of war. And war is not pretty. I know that people are going to do awful, evil things in war. But this, to torture people, goes beyond what we should be standing for. And to listen to conservative members talk about how this should be allowed, how we can just go ahead and torture, goes beyond anything I've ever heard. It is part of the reason why I gave up being a Republican back in 92, because it is just completely off the edge. And maybe that's where they're headed. Maybe what we're watching is the self-destruction, the eventual defeat, the eventual collapse of the Republican Party. People who are so tied in to the thought process and the feeling of winning that they have forgotten what it means, not just to win, but to live a principled life. I used to believe that Republicans, even if they were wrong about it, at least had some sense of integrity about where they stood. But where they stood should have been about things that were right. And if you're wrong, if they've gotten you in a clear place where you're wrong, just own up to it. Say you were wrong. Take the hit. Maybe you don't win the House back in 2010. But at least you'll have your morals. At least we'll stand back for something that's right and true instead of what they keep putting forward. But maybe that's not where it's supposed to be. Maybe this is where they want to be. Maybe we're just watching the collapse of a once great party. Because if what we stand for and what we believe in is torture, then, as I said once long time ago, we lost after September 11th. We may have actually regained and we haven't even rebuilt New York yet. What am I talking about? We haven't even rebuilt Louisiana. Maybe we were able to get back up, but they hit us harder than we truly believe. They hit us where our morals are, and to that event, if that's true, God help us all. Let's see, going again to one last little on Egg Timer news before this thing goes off, and this was just a joke thing. I'm not going to continue with this. Oh, my God. Last little piece of quick, goofy news. Susan Boyle. Come on, what's the big deal? Seriously, people. I get that everybody just loves a frumpy English person that can do well because they just don't think the English are good looking. personally, I like the English. I lived in England for a little while. I think they're great people. But we get all obsessed about a frumpy person that can sing all of a sudden. I don't see what the surprise is. Mick Jagger's disgusting to look at. He can sing. Everybody doesn't get so uptight about him. But get over it. She can sing. Good for her. Enjoy your 15 seconds, Susan. You deserve it. You made the world stop and enjoy you for a second. And that's pretty much all we're going to enjoy. I tell you what, let's take a break. How about a song? Okay, before I get into the last segment, I really want to introduce what's going to be a new feature for the podcast, and you'll get to enjoy what it is. It's going to be called the Happy Place segment. What I'm going to do for you is every week or every podcast that I can, I'm going to introduce some speaker, some person, similar to the What a Weenie Award, where you just have to say to this person, oh, please be quiet, please stop talking. And I have three people that I want to give this particular thing to, but going to stick to one person in particular. The first one goes to Vice President Cheney for this statement.
About this recent disclosure, is they put out the legal memos, the memos that the CIA got from the Office of the Legal Counsel, but they didn't put out the memos that show the success of the effort. And there are reports that show specifically what we gained as a result of this activity. They have not been declassified. I formally ask that they be declassified now. I haven't announced this up till now. I haven't talked about it. But I know specifically of reports that I read, that I saw, that lay out what we learned through the interrogation process and what the consequences were for the country. And I've now formally asked the CIA to take steps to declassify those memos so we can lay them out there and the American people have a chance to see what we obtained and what we learned and how good the intelligence was, as well as to see this debate over the legal opinions.
Oh, why does he keep talking? Why does he keep coming back? Why does the Dark Lord obsess our minds? But then, why does this man keep talking? Why is Joe the Plumber still out there? I mean, didn't he already have, like, his 15 seconds to talk? Who in the world decided to give this man a journalism job and then say this particular asinine statement?
So, I mean, now do you have... Oh, shoot. I have a lot of questions. Just trying to find the right one. As far as... why are you guys collecting all this?
Well, the bomb disposals are the first to arrive at the area. Our regular patrol teams closed off the area, cordoned off the area. But we examine and make sure there's no further danger to the public. Once again, 5 kilos exploding inside an area is something that can cause damage, kill. More than 16 Israelis have been killed by these rockets.
I'm sure they're taking quick showers. I know I would. Yeah, so, you know, you just can't plan your day. You can't take a picnic. No, what did I learn today?
Yeah.
You know, the Israel people are actually incredible. Even with world opinion beaten down upon them, they're not broken. You know, they, for the most part, don't care. You know, they need to be protected. And I'm amazed with the courage that I see in the people. I'll be honest with you, I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. I mean, you guys report where our troops are at. You report what's happening day to day. You make a big deal out of it. I think it's asinine. You know, I like back in World War I and World War II when you'd go to the theater and you'd see your troops on you know, the screen, and everyone would be real excited and happy for them. Now everyone's got an opinion and wants to down our, and down soldiers. You know, our American soldiers or our Israeli soldiers. I think media should be abolished from reporting. You know, war is hell. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time. So I think the media should have no business in it.
I mean, the stupidity of somebody to come across and say that, well, journalists should just shut up. Dude, you're a journalist. I'm saying with quotation marks. If they were to become quiet and not say anything, then why did you go to Israel to talk with military people about military issues? Because you and yourself, you believe you should be quiet. Well, I say, Joe, take your own advice. Nobody wants to hear from you anymore. Or the Happy Place Award could go to this person.
It is great to be here in the Hoosier State, and yes, I was bribed. America likes an underdog. That's why we like Hoosiers. By the way, I hope that some of you enjoyed some local tea parties. I know others across the country certainly did. I have a feeling that Indiana would have appreciated those tea parties yesterday. Finally, yes, you can see Russia from Alaska.
The recurring theme throughout the first 15 minutes of her speech was not, as you might expect at an anti-abortion dinner, pro-life. It was pro-Alaska.
We've got the largest mountain on the continent there. In fact, 17 of North America's largest mountains are there. Our rivers, plentiful and long, the mighty Yukon, is 1,900 miles. We have 80 active volcanoes, including the second largest in the world. We've got more than 3 million lakes. More than 3 million. And we are one of only two areas. We have one of only two lakes in the world with a year-round sill population, resident population. You know, sills in the ocean? We have them in one of our lakes. It's that big. We have more coastline than the entire continental United States, 46,000 miles, and over 10,000 islands. Only 1,000 of them are even named. But Alaska is amazing. And just real quickly, we have the greatest temperature range from 82 below zero to 100 above. We have the largest, busiest floatplane base in the world. We have the largest school district. We have the longest sled dog and snow machine races in the world.
No! Get out of here! Jeez! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start it! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!
Why does Sarah Palin keep coming back? Why do we have to continuously hear from this woman? And every time she says something dumber than the last time, so much so that there's a point where even John McCain is pushing her aside like a party guest you just don't want to admit that you invited. There she is saying something dumber than the last thing. There is no way in hell that anybody can think that she is now or will be a serious person to run in 2012. Lady, you're getting your ass handed to you in the realm of the public specter by a 17-year-old boy who didn't graduate from high school. This continuous bickering you have with who would have been your son-in-law is just embarrassing. Do yourself a favor, just focus on Alaska for a while. You've got a lot of problems to take care of up there, and stop talking to the public in general, because every time I hear you talk, all I hear is this.
No! Get out of here! Jeez! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start it! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!
And that is what's going to be the new happy place. Every time somebody says something that's just really ridiculous, I'm going to say that or introduce that particular piece just to remind us that they need to shut up. One of the things that, and like I said, I apologize about the pups in the background. One of the things that I think we've all been watching over the past, timer's done, but forgot to turn that off earlier. One of the things we've been watching over the past 6 months, and for a lot of people who've been talking about this, is the economic crisis that has hit us all. I'm going to talk about something personal because I think it's important to share and is important actually to this podcast. The company I work for suffered job cutbacks just like many other places. For a lot of progressives who had been talking about it for a while, we had all worried about the coming collapse or bubble bursting of the housing market, and felt that if you just paid attention, listened to a little bit of news, there was going to be an economic collapse at some point. But I thought, like a lot of other people, that it maybe would just be a simple simple deflationary time. Maybe it wouldn't be as bad, but it has been bad. It's been damn near awful. And for myself at work, it's been heartbreaking. Because around March 12th, in a time when I think everybody was trying to fight to keep their job, 140 people from the company I work for lost theirs. And three of them were three of my dearest friends. One of them was Barbara, someone who has just been a political mentor for me. I just love the woman to death. Another one was Izella, and the other one was Ryan. So for Izella and Ryan, the dogs are running around. Izella and Ryan were part of the wonderful voice staffing for Indirect Democracy, and during our lunch breaks, we would find time to do the commercials, or they would help me out with some of the sponsor ads by providing their voices. Because most of the discussion for this podcast has been about torture, I wanted to share this particular sponsor ad from about a couple years ago that Ryan and Izella helped do with me. And here is that old sponsor ad.
Hey, Susie, what's the matter?
I just can't figure out how much saran wrap I'm supposed to use around this enemy combatant's head.
I hear you. Waterboarding's tough.
And how long can I leave him underwater before it becomes torture?
Well, this little book might have all your answers.
Hey, torture for dummies!
Yes, that's right. The people who brought you Internet for Dummies, Yoga for Dummies, and Juggling for Dummies now bring you Torture for Dummies. Learn the simple techniques of interrogation, sleep deprivation, sensory deprivation, solitary confinement, waterboarding, forced feedings, sexual humiliation, administration of psychotropic drugs, why loud music and strobe lights aren't just for dancing, and how to blame it all on some poor dumb redneck if you get caught.
Hey, Susie, did you get that information from your prisoner?
Nah, he didn't know anything, but it was all legal. Thanks, Torture for Dummies.
Torture for Dummies, with other titles available including Swift Boating for Dummies, Rhetoric for Dummies, Quagmire for Dummies, Beginning Government for Dummies, and coming soon, Diplomacy for Dummies. Torture for Dummies. So simple, even a dummy can use it.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Well, for Izella and Ryan in specific, if they're out there listening, thank you so much for every time you committed to doing something with me. I really appreciate it. I wish you all the very best in finding work out there. It's a very tough market. And thank you so much, guys. See, before I end the podcast, I really wanted to talk about one thing that I've been noticing. I know I've talked about it a little bit with the collapse of the Republican Party as we know it. But I was, and this is going to be a long way to get into the point of this, is I love to listen to the radio in my car, and one of the things I like is the different weird ads that they have for different things. They're trying to be serious. And there's an asthma medication out there called Astepro. Now, it could be probably the best medication in the world for dealing with asthma, but I can't get past the first 2 seconds of the commercial because Astepro just sounds dirty to me. And let me explain why.
Year-olds nowadays are crazy. They're up for anything. They even like it when you go ass to mouth.
Oh my God.
What?
Are you serious?
I don't fuck around when it comes to ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
It's never my idea. These young girls today get all horned up and they tell you to go ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth, Randall.
You sound like my mom. Bex, do you ever go ass to mouth?
You never go ass to mouth.
Yeah, if you heard that clip, that's exactly what it sounds like to me. I don't hear ass to pro, I hear ass to mouth. It sounds weird. I can't get past that, so I spend most of the time in the commercial going, ew, 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 because...
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Not even once.
Not even ever.
There you go. It's just wrong, and I know it's wrong. But I bring this up, and it's a long road to get to there, because a few weeks ago, the big thing that was the news for a lot of us, and what was the giggle factor for many progressives, was the teabag parties, or the tea parties that they were holding, the parties to talk about how taxes were becoming too harsh for people. What's funny about that is that for most people who earn under $250,000, we actually saw a break in our taxes starting April 1st of 2009. We've all been getting a little bit more back in our paychecks. For the people that are going to see their taxes go up, the people that are making more than $250,000, they're not going to see a spike, or at least levels go back to what they were during the Clinton years, until 2011. So this entire time, members of the conservative or Republican Party were holding these tea parties. And I realized in listening to it, because I got the immediate giggle. I got it because I heard it. The second I heard this particular clip, which was on Rachel Maddow.
D.C. Teabag the White House. Teabag the fools in D.C.
Teabagging. After spending weeks mailing tea bags to members of Congress, conservative activists next week say they plan to hold tea parties to proverbially teabag the White House. And they don't want to teabag alone, if that's even possible. They want you to start teabagging, too. They want you to teabag Obama on Twitter. They want you to, quote, send your teabag and teabag Obama on Facebook. They want you to teabag liberal Dems before they teabag you. And all this non-consensual conservative activist teabagging is just the start. All across America on Tax Day, Republican members of Congress are lining up to speak at teabag tea party events. Even Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina is getting in on the hot teabagging action. Senator David Vitter of Louisiana, previously most famous for his self-admitted very serious sin with prostitution services. He wants to give teabagging the Senate's seal of approval. He has asked the Senate to commemorate the day of anti-Obama protests in law. In terms of, now, no laughing offset or I will lose it. I'm only barely making it through as it is. All right, ready? Ahem. In terms of media, our colleagues at Fox News are not just reporting on teabagging, they are officially promoting it.
Celebrate with Fox News. This is what we're doing next Wednesday. We want to be with you and your tea party. If you have a tea party anywhere that we're not covering one of those, email me at glennbeck@foxnews.com. We may cover your tea party live on April 15th.
Fox News Channel has described the Tax Day events on screen as FNC Tax Day tea parties. And they are dispatching some of their hosts to take part in the teabagging. But amid the celebration of inchoate right-wing bad feelings and the denunciation of taxes, spare a thought for the man who you'd think might have the most to gain from harnessing the power of mass organized public teabagging. That, of course, would be Republican Party Chairman Michael Steele. Mr. Steele apparently asked to address a teabag tea party event in Chicago next week, but organizers turned him down, saying that he is welcome to show up at the event, but not welcome to speak. The organizers did say that they thought the event would be, quote, a fantastic time for Chairman Steele to listen to what we have to say. Though presumably if he is being teabagged while doing so, the message will be a bit muffled.
I mean, come on, you have to be asinine to say, we're going to teabag the White House. We're going to teabag the president. You don't go around using sexual terminology to have a serious conversation with somebody, because silly progressives and silly liberals are going to spend the rest of their time going, he said teabag. And that's pretty much what I think most people did, and I did at first, because you realize that only simple-minded conservatives, simple-minded Republicans with no real ideas would put forward a claim to do something that... and not know what they were saying. It's just so them. But what killed me about this, and what made me realize, is I think we were so focused on the joke, so focused on the teabagging part. I mean, even Rachel Maddow in that clip was cracking up, that we forgot to focus on what was really happening, besides watching the overall collapse of the Republican Party and going down into their fringe base. I think most of us saw the beginnings of this fringe base becoming the complete and total true power. The 20 to 25% of them who are complete loyalists, hell or high water, who are just there to listen and obey. These are the people who are at this party, and this is where power begins from. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, look, maybe it's 700 to 800 people who showed up for these meetings. But you see, that's where it begins. Because you have to take them seriously to some aspect. You cannot underestimate what they're capable of doing. We have seen it go for too long, and for 8 years, and these memos that came out, we understand where they come from, where this is where their fringe base is. This is where their extremism takes its true hold, because if you saw the news footage of some of these tea parties, and go ahead, I know you're thinking of tea baggers, you saw the roots of hatred and racism take hold. Because really, that's what it is. That's what we have seen over the past couple of months is, well, why hasn't he fixed this? And the he being, of course, President Obama. Why hasn't he fixed the economy? Why hasn't he cured the swine flu? Why hasn't he taken care of everything? Why hasn't he made the world just gumdrops and fairy tales after just 100 days? And they put this on him and say that he can't do it. And the real thing, what they're saying is, it's because he's black. It's because he's Muslim. It's because he's not a real American. And that's who you saw at these tea parties, where people so focused on hating this man because he is not what they want him to be. Would these parties have occurred if there was a McCain presidency? Come on, you and I both know that wouldn't have happened. You'd probably still have people upset because of taxes or things not being fixed, but it would have come mostly out of the left. But what has come out of the right has shown its true face. We have seen it come out again. And speaking of torture memos, I really encourage you to, going back to that very quickly, because this deals with extremism and hatred, The May 4th edition of Newsweek, there's a great story in there about the interrogator who fought back against torture and was able to get information out of one particular suspect without using torture. But there is also an article in there that deals with the true face of racism as it comes out. It is very real. It is very alive. I've said this plenty of times. But all you need to do is just hear their base come out during these times. It could be Pat Buchanan talking about the drug wars that are occurring and how that's once again proof of the criminal Mexican army that's trying to make its way into the United States, or how he's probably having a joygasm about the swine flu and being able to blame Mexicans on that. But this has been their time to come out at their xenophobic best and shoot down the president for things that he is trying to fix. It is time, like I've always said, it is time for serious people to handle serious issues, and for small-minded people with simple ideas to come forward with notions that have no applicability, such as this budget that came out that even had no numbers in it. Well, we have to be careful. The joke is funny. Enjoy it for a little bit. But listen to what they're really saying, because in it is their true message, and it's one that we really have to pay attention to. Or we might miss out on the fact that Astepro is probably the best asthma medication in the world. But that'll do it for this episode of Indirect Democracy. I apologize for doing things just a little bit out of order, but really just had a lot to get into. I thank you for taking time to listen, and I mostly want to thank Matt Bloodwell and the guys at Megaphone for allowing me to use their song, Not Your Enemy, from the album For Crying Out Loud. You can find that album on iTunes. I really encourage you to take some time, download a few songs, download the album. It's a great album. But I really have to thank them for taking the time, and I also thank you for taking the time to listen. Hopefully we'll be back soon with podcast number 35, but until that time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. And bye for now.
I'm going to tell you this because we're friends, but sometimes, in the heat of the moment, it's forgivable to go ass to mouth.
I knew it.